I've mentioned to you before, I'm reading through the Bible this year, God willing, and I'm on schedule. I get behind sometimes and have to catch up. And then other times, as I've said, I get excited and I read ahead. Mostly, though, I try to do a daily discipline of reading the schedule that's before me. And as I read and try to read prayerfully, that's a way that God, I think, gives me messages. And I want to be nothing but a messenger boy from God. That's my job, part of it. And that is my job at this moment right here, is to be a messenger boy from God. And as I read the Word of God, some of it, much of it is, I read it to learn it, the history and the context, and I read about it. But then at other times, certain verses just jump out and seize me, and thoughts begin to enter my mind of related verses and related thoughts. And that's what happens. I love it when that happens, because that gives me something to study and to tell you about and share with you and try to expound upon. And so I think it was a couple of days ago I was reading, maybe, I don't know, two or three, one earlier this week I was reading in Numbers chapter 9, and these verses began to stand out to me, and I've enjoyed rereading them, and I want to try to expound upon them today. It's Numbers chapter 9, verses 15 through 23. Numbers 9, 15 through 23. The children of Israel are in the, what's commonly called the wilderness here. They've left Egypt. God's brought them out of Egypt with a mighty arm, strong arm of the Lord has brought them out, and they're on their way to Canaan. They're early on in their journey. I think about a year into their journey at this time, I think. Numbers 9, verse 15, and we'll read 15 through the end of the chapter. Numbers 9. Numbers 9, verse 15. And on that day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely, the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. And whether it were 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents. And at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. If I read that correctly, that's Numbers 9, 15 through 23. God bless the reading of His Word to all of us. May we hear and understand it. And may it be profitable to us. Let's pray, brethren, to that end right now. Father, thank You for the privilege to be in Your house. I thank You for the privilege to try to preach from Your Word. I beg You to give me the right words to say, the right thoughts, followed by the right words. May I say the right words and say it in the right way. May I be a messenger boy from You this morning. Father, by the Holy Spirit, come and bless our gathering together, that it will be worship, and that we might worship You
the one true and living God in spirit and in truth. Open our minds and hearts to understand your word, that we might profit from it, that we might grow in it, be directed by it, and that you be glorified and honored by it, by our lives, our lifestyle, our manner of living as we go from this place. Be pleased, Lord, to come and direct us now in this service hour. We lift up again those in special need that have been mentioned, that are on the hearts and minds of the members and friends of the church that are in special need. Help them and have mercy, we pray. Now we turn, Father, to your word. Open it to us. We thank you for it. Thank you for preserving it for our reading to this very moment, that we have the freedom to read in public assembly your word, and that we might gather together. We thank you for that. May we never take it for granted, and may we never lose it. May we count it a privilege to be here. In the name of Jesus, the name above every name, we pray. Amen.
The title of the lesson, I titled it, brethren, at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journey. They are journeying now from Egypt to Canaan. And as I said, I'm reading along in the Pentateuch. That's the name given, the first five books of the Bible, written by Moses. And this is the fourth of the five here. And this is a history, and it's but all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable to us for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, instruction in the right way to live. And to me, of those categories there, instruction in right living kind of more applies to these. It's direction, it's instruction today. I just want to take each verse now in turn and try to expound upon each one a little bit, share with you some thoughts that I pray are from God's Holy Spirit, that He would have me to learn and you to learn, and so that we might better live our lives, that they would honor God better. And brethren, if we'll live by the Word of God, we'll be happier too. So many speakers and teachers and books about trying to be happy. I tell you, brethren, there's no way to be happy, no way to be happy or happier than being in the will of God and living the life of a child of God, obedient child of God. Verse 15 says, on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely, the tent of the testimony. That brethren, that tabernacle was a tent. It was made of cloth, and it had skin coverings over it. We have a description of it, elaborate description of it here given us by Moses. The materials used, the dimensions of it, the materials that went into the construction of it, and what it looked like, the measurements of it. You can read about that. I might have told you this. There was a preacher brother from somewhere in Missouri, I think, and he, during his ministry, he traveled around and he had built a scale model of the tabernacle and the court, and he would go to various churches and teach about the tabernacle. And it all, so many of the things in the tabernacle point to Jesus anyway and his sacrifice, but it's a very enlightening thing to hear him. He came to the church I was in many years ago and presented a number of teaching meetings about that tabernacle. God gave very specific instructions for the construction of that tabernacle. And if you look at verse 1 in this chapter, it says, the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt. And he says, keep the Passover. So that was the first month in the second year that they were came out of Egypt. So I take it from that they'd been out a year at this point in time, at least when this chapter here begins, when this account we're told of it, and they're keeping the Passover. You know, they kept it in Egypt. That's what brought them out, is that night that the judgment angel of God traveled throughout Egypt, and Moses had instructed, God had instructed through Moses, the children of Israel, on that very first Passover night, what to do? Take that lamb of the flock of the year, first year, without blemish or spot, Take it on the 10th day. Keep it until the 14th day. Kill it on the 14th day. And take the blood, put it on the doorpost, and so on. You know it. And so this chapter starts through it. It says, in the first month of the second year after they came out of Egypt, God said to Moses, keep the Passover. And they kept it year in and year out. And then we're told about how they traveled and when they traveled and what was the signal. Verse 15 says, the tabernacle has now been constructed and it's reared up, it's raised up, it's put together. And it says, on the day that happened, the cloud covered the tabernacle. Namely, the tent of the testimony. They called it the tent because it was a tent. The tent of the testimony because the law of God was in there, in the holiest of holies, the holy place. It was all holy, but there was a holiest of holies. And brethren, when that tabernacle was made according to the instruction of God and then assembled there, God, brethren, showed up as the line is from Forrest Gump. God showed up. God, brethren, manifests his presence in that place. And that's a good sign right there, brethren. Typically, if we've been obedient and he comes, we get a blessing. If we've been disobedient and we're judged, we sometimes are weighed in the balance and found lacking. But typically, brethren, it's good when God shows up. On the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And listen to this, brethren. At even, that's at eventide, and late in the afternoon, twilight maybe, at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. You got a cloud in the day, and the appearance of, it appeared like fire in the evening. Now, maybe you're visualizing that now. A cloud is easier to visualize than the appearance of fire at night. A cloud, this morning when I woke up, I looked out and day was breaking and there was a cloud on the eastern horizon. And I thought about this. That cloud was pink. It was illuminated. And I thought about that, what that cloud looked like at night. I believe it was a cloud. I believe it was illuminated like fire. In the daytime, it's pretty easy to imagine a little white puffy cloud there maybe over it. As I understand it, it was over not the entire tabernacle, but over that holy of holies place. You remember I mentioned, I think recently, the Ark of the Covenant was in there. The testimony was in that holiest of holies. And there were cherubims facing each other with their wings outstretched. You can see artists' idea of what that would have looked like if you look at a Bible dictionary or go online and just check out the Ark of the Covenant. There'll be pictures there of what it probably, something very similar to what it looked like. And God, brethren, manifests himself right there above that mercy seat. And it, in the exterior, it was a cloud over that part of the tent. A cloud. I think of it as a white cloud. Could have been gray. I don't know. It was a cloud. But think about, that was in the daytime. And at night, brethren, it says that it was, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. Something that everyone could see. Your visualization of it and mine may be different. But I drove up this morning and the woods had been burned off. I know, the first thing I noticed. It looked so good. I was glad to see it. There was smoke coming up. I don't know who burned them off or how late y'all stayed, but if you stay into the night and the woods are on fire, you can see. Sometimes you can't, you can see a flame, sometimes you can't, but you can see that aura of the light. At home, over the last several years, we've had some horrendous forest fires down there. It's burned thousands of acres of land. And at nighttime, I would get out sometimes with the family, and we would ride and look. And in fact, that fire sometimes was just a glow, a reddish, orangish glow at night. And you could see that. Well, brethren, the Israelites, the children of Israel, could see, as it were, the appearance of fire over that tabernacle at nighttime. So it was, verse 16, always. Brethren, when I read that earlier this week, I just rejoiced. Because you see, what that says to me is, God, you know God never changes, and you know He's faithful, and great is His faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. When I read that this week, I said, that's God right there. So it was always. Every morning, brethren, they could look toward the tabernacle, and the different tribes, they set up their tents on north, south, east, and west. And God told them what tribes would camp on the east side, the west side, north and south. God was very specific. And the Levites, they camped around the tabernacle, I do believe. But, brethren, wherever you were in the camp, you could look toward the tabernacle, and I believe you could see that in the day, and you could see it at night. So it was always. God never changes, brethren, and they could count on it. Just like the manna, when the manna began, they could count on it. 6 days a week. Seventh day, nope, they were not, it didn't fall. They could get gathered enough on the sixth day for the Sabbath day. But God was faithful, brethren. They could wake up, look out, there was the manna. They could wake up in the night, look toward the tabernacle, they could see it, as it were, the appearance of fire. As it was, so it was always, verse 16, the cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that, the children of Israel journeyed. You see the signal there? When the cloud moved, that's God saying, let's go. Take down your tent. Time to be on your way. Time to travel. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. Simple enough, isn't it? When the cloud stopped, they stopped. Stop here. Pitch your tent. Verse 18. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. Isn't that wonderful to read that? They were obedient, weren't they? You know, as you read in these Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, you read in these books, children of Israel grumbled a lot. You remember they fussed about, they didn't have water. They didn't have meat that they wanted. And they challenged Moses and Aaron. They said, "Why? Who picked you to be the leader?" There's lots of grumbling going on. But it's very good to me, makes me happy to read, it says, at the commandment of the Lord, verse 18, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. Many days are few. As long as that cloud tarried, they stayed. And so it was, verse 20, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. Verse 21, and so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Listen to this, brethren, verse 21. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. I'd never thought of that. But it appears to me that maybe in the night sometime the cloud moved, and it was time to strike the tent down and let's go. Journey at night. Whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents, and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. Verse 22 says it could have been 2 days, it could have been a month, it could have been a year that they stayed there. One Bible commentator said that he understood that the children of Israel stayed in one place 19 years. I don't know any more than that, other than the man said that. But that's a good long time, isn't it? 2 days sometimes, 19 years sometimes. Whatever God says, you stay there. If He says stay there, they stay there. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. And then the last verse, 23. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents. And at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Simple and straightforward, isn't it? When the cloud moves, you move. If it doesn't move, you stay where you are. The children of Israel, brethren, had been brought out of Egypt and bondage, and their destination is the land flowing with milk and honey, Canaan land. They're in the big wilderness here. A word about the wilderness. And after the service today, maybe I'd be glad to hear from you your thoughts on this. The wilderness. The desert place. I've heard people say things like they were in a desert. Well, when I hear the word desert, I think of the Mojave or the Sahara. But I don't think it was a desert like that. It was a wilderness. It was a desert place. I don't think there were inhabitants out there. Sometimes the children of Israel would get near inhabited places and the folks would come out and say, "You're not coming through here." And they even would attack on occasion. But it was, you know, the children of Israel, brethren, they had some flocks with them because they offered sacrifices. So those flocks had to have something to eat. They weren't roaming around out there in just barren sand. But it was an uninhabited land. It was nothing probably like we have around here. But I was thinking about, you know, if I had to go on pretty short notice and gather up a few things and I was going to be living out in the woods and foraging, it would be a wilderness place to me. It wouldn't be very pleasant to me. And I don't know how barren the place was or how fruitful it was, but it was a wilderness area. And they were traveling in it. And they spent 40 years out there. Sometimes apparently 2 days at a campsite, and sometimes maybe up to 19 years they were there. But the thing was, they were on a journey. And they were following God's lead. God, and I want to try to relate this to you and me, and how, brethren, we are to, at the command of the Lord, we're to journey, and at the command of the Lord, we're to camp, we're to stay. And that, brethren, the destination of the children of Israel was the promised land. And we know from history that they made it. Those who were 20 years old and younger made it into the promised land. The others died in the wilderness, except for two, and that would be Joshua and Caleb. I just read this week about that those spies, those 12 spies, one spy from each tribe, Moses sent them over into the promised land and said, "Go check it out." They stayed gone 40 days. That's how long they were gone. They came back. The report of the spies was, "There are giants over there. We can't take it. We're grasshoppers in their sight. We can't do it." Except Joshua and Caleb said, "We can do it. God's given it to us. All we got to do is go take it." But the people feared, and they talked about, "Let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back. Let's go back. We're scared." And God said, "Well, you all who are 20 years of old age and older, you're going to die in the wilderness." But the next generation went in, and Joshua led them in. And they made it. Brethren, our journey is very similar to that. Your journey and my journey. The destination that you and I have, the ultimate destination, is the eternal heaven. And that's already fixed and worked out. You don't have to seize that. You can't, in fact. That's the work of Jesus. He did that when he died on the tree. He saved you from your sins, and you'll be there. There's a saying that you probably heard. Some people, you know, I ride a motorcycle, and I'm a fan of a certain brand of motorcycle, and they have clubs all around, and they write articles, and they say certain things, and one of the things they say is, It's not the destination, it's the journey. And think of it with me just for a minute. On motorcycles, what they mean is the trip is the fun part. It's not once you get there necessarily, but to just enjoy the ride, enjoy the trip. And that's what they say. And in a sense, brethren, that applies to the here and now with you and me. The destination, it is a destination, but we don't control that. God is taking care of that. Through the shed blood of Jesus, our destination is that home in glory, eternal in the heavens. But brethren, God, He birthed you naturally here. He put you here, and then He birthed you again. He regenerated you so that you can serve Him on the journey that you're traveling. We are pilgrims on a journey, that hymn says. The servant song. We are pilgrims on a journey. I can't remember the rest of the words, but there's another hymn that says, "This world is not my home. I'm only passing through." We're on a journey, brethren. And so this week as I was reading about how the children of Israel, when that cloud moved, they moved. And when it stopped, they stopped. Brethren, it made me think about how God knows what's ahead in your journey and what's ahead in my journey. One of the things it says here, as I read to you, is sometimes it was at night. Now, whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Does that mean in the night the cloud moved, and when the next morning when it was gone, they caught up with it? I tend to think that two different commentators I read about this said that the children of Israel probably had sentries that would watch that cloud. Maybe they didn't need them in the day, I don't know, but they probably needed them at night when the children of Israel were Israelites were sleeping. And if that cloud began to move, I would say the sentries sounded an alarm and said, "Hey, the cloud's moving. Get ready. Get up. Wake up. Let's go. Things are changing. Time to go." And they journeyed at night sometimes. I would assume from what this says here. And I got to thinking about journeying at night. You know that I do not know what's ahead always. Seldom do I know. I know that on the first Sunday in April, I am to officially become your pastor. I know that's out there on the horizon. I know that. We've made that plan. You've asked me, and I've said, "Yes, I'll do it. I'll be glad." Offer, acceptance. It's done. The deal is sealed. But you know, something may come up and change that. I don't intend to change it. I hope you don't. But we don't know. But we have to plan. But brethren, God knows what's ahead. And He, in His loving way and His wise way, His infinite wisdom, brethren, He led those people in that wilderness. He led them. And brethren, He's the same God that led these people, and He leads us. And I got to thinking about how our life is indeed a journey. And Joshua said to the children of Israel when they were about to cross the river into and go and take Jericho, you know what he said? He said, when the ark is going to go before you, you follow the ark. And I've tried to preach sermons about that before. He tells them, back up a distance from it, but you watch it, and when it goes, you go. And that's how they crossed the flooded river to get over into Canaan land. It's the priest had the Ark of the Covenant, and when their feet touched the rivers at flood stage, and when their feet dipped into the edge of the river, it stopped up here and ran off down there, and they went across on dry ground. And they went over and took Jericho. But Joshua said to them, "You watch the Ark because," why did he say that? "You have not traveled this way before." You know what, brethren? I drove up here this morning the same road that I've taken, and I've traveled that way before. But you know what? I saw some new things along that way. And I never know what, even though I'm on a familiar path, what obstacle I might meet. And I may travel roads that I've never traveled before, but I know this. This day right here, this moment in time, I've never lived this moment in time before, nor have you. And you don't know, and I don't know what that holds. But as the song also says, I know who holds tomorrow, right? We don't know what tomorrow holds. We've not traveled it before. So brethren, I would say to you, follow the things of God. Follow. I will follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere. I will follow on. Sounds like what the children of Israel did, doesn't it? They followed that cloud day in and day out, night in and night out, sometimes maybe at night. In the future, your future and mine is not apparent to us. Therefore, what you and I need is a guide, something to follow, something to follow. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The psalmist there is indicating that the future is dark for us. That don't mean it's bad. It's good because we belong to God. But it means that we can't see. We can't see out there what it is. So we need something to follow. And the first two words are what you follow. Thy word, the word of God. We have it right here, the word of God. Two things, I think, we follow, similar to that cloud that the Israelites followed. Two things. One is the written word of God. God reveals himself to you and me, his children, in his word. Read it and study it. It's like, I know it's been used a million times, but it's like a roadmap for you. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Don't be ignorant of it. Study it. Study it. It tells us what to do and what not to do. It's God revealing himself to you and to me, the word of God. The other thing, the other way that God guides his people is by the Spirit of God. I've said this before, but I must say it again. The Spirit of God will never, ever tell you to do something that the Word of God says, don't do it, and vice versa. God never contradicts himself. The Spirit of God, you got to try the spirits to see if they're of God. If you feel inclined to do a certain thing, you better try it, measure it, check it out against the written Word of God. If it's telling you to do something immoral or illegal, something you don't feel good about doing, then it's not the Spirit of God, brethren, because God will never lead you into sin or error. Study the Word of God. It's a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And follow the leading of the Spirit of God. That cloud, to me, sort of symbolizes the Spirit of God. God leads us not by an audible voice, I don't think. I've never heard an audible voice, but I've heard it very, very clear from time to time in my life. Like, stop what you're doing. On the other hand, I've had these nudgings of the Spirit. An idea that I need to do a certain thing. This is the right decision to do. Well, Lord, am I sure? Show me a sign. Sometimes I pray for that. Direct me. Sometimes, brethren, I felt led to go a certain way, but I've had misgivings about it, and I would say, Lord, I think this is what you'd have me do. I just ask this. If it's not the right thing, stop me before I go too far. Have you ever done that? Stop me before I go too far. Let me go the right way. God sometimes opens doors, sometimes he closes doors to guide his people. And the closer I am to God, the more I know about his word, and the more time I spend in prayer, brethren, the clearer the direction I have. And it'll be like that with you, and I hope it is like that with you. Maybe you've got a clearer signal than me a lot of times. I want to give you an example. I apologize if I've given you this example before, in my own life of God leading me. There's so many, and you can look back in your life and see them also. In my secular job, if I've told you this, please bear with me, but I'll be brief. In my secular job, I had to work for the people, and to get the job, I had to be voted in. You know, ran these campaigns, and first one I ever ran, I was defeated. I lost. But God was in that. I mean, he just was. It's amazing how you know, I thought I lost, but I actually won. I lost it. I didn't get as many votes as my opponent, but I really won because God had other things that he was laying the groundwork for that later, looking back, I said, oh, I see what God was doing there. And then there were other campaigns where I got the most votes. Well, the last one that I did, the very last one, was in the circuit over here next to y'all, just south of here. And there were six counties there. Six counties. And I'd only ever run in one county before. And that one was only one of the six. There were five more I had to go into and campaign. And brethren, I knew very few people in those counties. The county where I lived and the Coffee County were the two biggest in the circuit. And I had to go, so naturally I was from Ware and pretty well received there, so I said, I need to spend a lot of time in Coffee. And then I thought, I don't know, I probably couldn't name 10 people that I know in that county. And they're the two biggest, so wherever they go, if you carry those, you're pretty much probably going to win. So brethren, here's what happened. People begin to contact me and say, you need to go see so-and-so, or so-and-so wants to see you. And I would go, and they would say, I would say, hey, I'm Mike Devane. Shake hands and say, how are you? Thanks for seeing me. And they say, Mike Devane, I've heard of you. I want to help you. What can I do? That's a dangerous thing to ask a candidate. You know, I need money. You know, that's what you usually say. But just that's the example of how God didn't speak in an audible voice to me, but he put people in my path. The cloud would move, and I would follow the cloud, follow the direction of God, and there's a door opening up right there. And that's just my example. That's my example. You all have examples of God leading you. And I want to impress upon you today and upon me is this. Anlin's probably the youngest here. I don't know who's the oldest. But it doesn't matter. Everybody in between here, you youngest and you the oldest, we got to follow God. Or we get into trouble. The brother's youngest. Sorry, Anlin. Sorry, AJ. AJ? Follow God, brother. God, you have the same God that I do. I have the same God Brother Eddie does. From the ones born the most years ago to the ones born the most recent years ago, God loves his children and he guides his children. And you and I, brethren, we've got to follow God to be happy, to be successful, to be happy with God, to prosper. God would prosper us. And the first way, maybe financially, and I don't know. That's up to him. But I know this, he would want you and me to prosper spiritually. And we can only do that, brethren, if we follow him and follow his direction. And we will thrive and we will prosper spiritually and probably otherwise if we'll do that. When I read these verses right here, you heard it, and it says over and over and over again, when the cloud moved, they moved. When the cloud stopped, they stopped. That, looking at that cloud didn't require a lot of wisdom, because they could look at it with their own two eyes and see it. We don't have that. It's not that simple for us. But brethren, you know what? They stayed maybe 2 days in one place and maybe 19 years in a place. I tell you what it did take though, brethren, is it took patience for them to follow God. And it takes patience and wisdom and discernment for you and me to do it. Ultimately, those children who were 20 years of age, and some of them weren't even born yet, they grew up following that cloud, and brethren, they reached the destination. If you and I, when day breaks each morning, if we say, Lord, I'm here today to follow you, show me your way, number one. And secondly, when the Lord shows us his way, if we'll get up and follow, we'll be happy. And we'll reach that destination that God has for us for that day and for the next day. And the next day, we do it all over again. We follow God. Follow him. You'll never be lost. He knows the destination. He knows the way. He knows what's ahead. So why wouldn't we follow him? So brethren, follow God. Follow God. Please read these verses again. And may God impress them upon your heart and on my heart that the thing for the day is to follow God today. And you know, I may say, well, I'm going to follow him next Tuesday too. Okay, that's fine. But here's the main thing. Just follow him right now. Right this minute, where he leads. we all are going in different directions day by day, different areas of service, but brethren, we all want to have the same goal, and that is following God and receiving His blessings and giving Him the glory. That's what we're created for. That's why He born us naturally on this earth and put us here, and that's why He rebirthed us, is to serve Him and give Him glory. Brethren, follow us. Just follow. Oh, Father in heaven, thank You for Your direction to us. Thank You for loving us enough to direct us. Give us instruction in Your Word. Thank You for that. Thank You that You're a God accessible and that You manifest Yourself to us. Sinners, have mercy, we pray. Father, give us, not only give us direction, but Father, give us the grace to follow You. Give us discernment in knowing when it's Your leading and when it's Satan trying to interfere with us and get us away from You and separate us from You day by day. May we follow You. May we keep our eye upon You. May we be in Your Word, learning about You, Your commands to us. And may we be in prayer, on our knees, fervent prayer, begging You to guide us and reveal Your will to us, specifically things that You would have us to do. Father, I pray for Your church, in particular this church, the Church of Jesus Christ, known as Sturgeon Creek. I pray for it, and I pray that You would help me to be a good pastor here. I thank You for the opportunity. I beg for Your wisdom, and I beg for Your direction, and I beg that I would follow it, whatever it is, that I would have the grace and the courage to do it, and that every one of us, the members of this church here, would have the grace we need to follow Your Word and Your will. When You move, we move. When You say stop, we stop. Lord, bless us to do that, and know that if we'll do that, we'll be blessed day by day. May we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. In the name of Jesus, we pray it. The name above every name. Amen. We're going to stand, brethren, and sing a hymn now. If you love Jesus, and you know He died for you, and you want to serve Him with the people here in this church, this local church, you have the opportunity, as we stand and sing the hymn, come and make your request known.